our Father, we come to you again and we thank you for this day, for the Word of God has been taught in these premises this morning, and now we come together for the purpose here in this place to bring glory and honor to your name. I pray that we, the Holy Spirit, would have the ability to, or I know He has the ability, at least give me the ability, dear Father, to preach this message today. We look for your unction, we look for your anointing, not only in this pulpit, but in the pew. And we ask for the wisdom that's needed, that, dear Father, to understand what we need to see today about our lives before you in this world. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. If you will, take your Bible and turn with me over to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I heard this week while you've turned in there that there's a question that was asked to the person. He said, do you have anyone in your family that you consider to be dumb? Have you ever had anybody ask you that question? This person said, yes, I do. Said, would you like to share it with us? And the lady said, yes, I have a brother-in-law that was up in New York City back a few months ago and said the electric lights went off and he got stuck on an escalator and couldn't get off. Amen. Well, I hope we don't get stuck this morning. I hope we get to something that some of you don't know what escalator is, do you, I guess? But anyhow, here in 2 Timothy, we read to start with verses we know by heart, and yet at the same time, I want you to read them with me. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, notice, and for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, look with me in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12. How are we going to, if the Scripture is inspired by God, and it is, God says it is, if it's for the purpose of being profitable for us for doctrine, if it's profitable for us for reproof, if it's profitable for us for correction and for instruction in righteousness, that we may be what God says in verse 17, that we need to do what God told Timothy to tell us to do, as he wrote, as Paul wrote to Timothy here in verse 15 of chapter 2. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Studying is hard work. And he tells us that we should do this for what? That we might be approved unto God. Because evidently, if not, we can do things that's a shame, that's under the standard, that's below the standard that God wants us to operate in. And so to keep from being ashamed and being approved, we need to study the Word of God. Now, some people say, well, I don't know if we have the Word of God. Don't throw the evidence out. We have the evidence. Amen. Now, that's my title this morning. Don't throw the evidence out. When we think about life and what God is doing, don't throw the evidence out. It's amazing to me today, we got people who say that they believe in God, and you ask them where they get their information, they don't know. They claim a lot of times, some of them do read the Bible. There are some who do read the Bible and don't believe that God is everything He says He is in the Bible. Listen, God wrote this Bible by inspiring it to people, and therefore what He says is true. And when you say, I know the Bible says this, but I just can't see it like that, don't throw the evidence out, because it won't hold up in God's court. In our day, we got problems in courts because sometimes the evidence is thrown out. We'll look at that in just a few minutes. But the thing I want you to notice is that what this Scripture does, the Spirit of God is our power. In Romans chapter 5, verse 13 and 19, we see that. That God tells us. Our power comes from the Spirit of God. Of course, it's through His Word, but the Holy Spirit of God gives an empowerment to understand what we need to know about ourselves and about Him and about His plan. The armor of God is our protection. The protection in 2nd, look in Ephesians 6, verse 11 through 16. He shows us about putting on the armor of God. And by the way, He won't put it on it for us. He's got it available. He's got everything that's needed, but He says for us who are saved to put on that armor. And then, of course, the Word of God is our sword in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 17. And, of course, John 17, 17. God said, sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. So here we have all is needed to know what God says and what He wants us to do. It's a matter of us finding it, apply it to ourselves. As I said, observe, through observation, observe it. Then ask God to help you interpret it and then apply it to yourself and it becomes something to you and I that which the world cannot understand. Now, God tells us of some things that are wrong in the Bible, and he tells us that they are not to be done, but when they are done, we'll be condemned by it. Now, there's some people think today you can be saved and do anything you want to. Don't throw the evidence out. Because the evidence that God sets forth at his throne one day is going to be there to show that he meant what he said. It'll be nothing else he'll show us any more than we've seen the reality of God than what he's given us in his book now. If God has said something is wrong, and it's wrong, it's wrong. Amen? Now, another thing is the fact we understand that there are some things that are right in the to do in the Bible, and God commends those who do it. There are some things that are wrong. And just because someone said, well, you know, you may believe that, but I don't believe that because of who I... Hey, don't throw the evidence out, because this is what's going to stand in God's court one day. On the other hand, there are some things that are right. And William and A's the day that the judges tell us the time is going to come that man will do that which is evil in his eyes, thinking it's right, and many times call that which is right evil. That's where we're at today. So I understand that which is wrong. I understand there's some things wrong he tells us about. There's some things that are right he tells us about. But then there's some places, there are some things that are hard to comprehend in the Bible, and the conscience is affected by one's knowledge of them. There are some things that God may not say, thus thou shalt not, or thou shalt, but God gives principles to govern us who want to search the Scriptures to find out what it is that God makes applicable for me to use in my life, or what I can use applicable in my life. Now, it's not common today to hear someone say, I'm not convicted of that, preacher. I'm sorry. I've read my Bible, and I'm not convicted of that. And yet, God's word is real plain. Amen. By the way, when Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to the Father but by me, that's plain. Yeah. And someone said, well, you know, when I read some other scripture, it don't seem just, by the way, I don't care what other scripture I read, that verse of scripture there would dominate because Jesus himself said it. When the Bible says another way that man be saved except through the Lord Jesus Christ, another name under heaven given a man whereby must be saved, that's Bible. And when a person says, well, you know, there's got to be some other ways because think about all, and start naming countries all over the world. It makes no difference. Don't throw the evidence out. The evidence is that Jesus Christ is the only way a person can be saved. And without him, there is no salvation. Without him, hey, listen, without him, and he's the only one rose from the dead, there's no church. Did you hear me? There's assembly, but there's no church, as you see. Why? It's the body of Christ, and it's the blood of Christ that cleanses, and it's the resurrection of Christ that we see that we have our justification. In fact, that he was able to be raised from the dead, or he rose from the dead, God raised him, or he raised himself. Makes no difference to me. This place that said God raised him up. Place of he raised himself up. By the way, they're both God. They can do it. Amen. I don't get tangled up on things that's plain because I'm not going to throw the evidence out. Now, when I look at this, I understand that God is real plain. So then by these people tainting and throwing out the evidence, there can be no conviction if you don't have any evidence. You've got to have evidence in court to be convicted. Amen. Now, when I look at that and try to bring it down to my little peanut mind to understand what's going on when think about court in these particular days. You know, when you throw the evidence out that could convict the guiltiest criminal in the world in a court of law, you have no punishment. Why? In man's court, you throw the evidence out and he'll go free. But you can't do that in God's court. A lot of folks are throwing God's evidence out, but they're going to stand one day and find out that evidence is going to come back to haunt them. Because what God said is true. I don't care if you live in this age or 100 years from now, if the Lord don't come back for the church or those who lived 100 years ago or back before Christ came. What God said is going to hold up in God's court. And his law is that which he gives us in our day to understand, to adjust as our kind of thermometer to look at it. And not, that includes his word. So to disregard the truth of God's word is to reject the evidence of sin's consequences. We may throw it out as far as this life is concerned when it comes to evidence, and sometimes a judge will say, you know, you can't use this in this court here in man. For whatever reason he has, the judge has authority. You can't use it. But judge, if we don't use this, you'll not be, yeah, well, this is not relevant where we're at right now because of some reason. And if the evidence could convict that person and you can't present it in court, you have no grounds for conviction. And the only thing you can do is let the person go free. And there's some reason why we think that God's court operates like our court. I've got news for you. God's court don't operate like our court. There's justice in God's court sometimes, many times there's not justice in our court here. There's too much sin. There's too much evil hearts. There's too much the gang. There's too much in the hustle bustle of getting things in this life, no matter how you can get it. And there's a lot of things. Only God's court's going to have justice like it should be in that particular day. As it would be wrong for a judge to disregard the evidence in a case or someone in court, it is equally wrong for a man to disregard the truth of God's word, even in the fallen. Yet, fallen man does exactly that. He tries his best to disrupt God's word, disregard God's word, and present something that would be not what God said, simply because of where that person's at. Some take the evidence of God's book and seek to disprove it by comparing Scripture with the accepted application of a fallen man. In other words, they look at it through the eyes of a fallen man. They have no instruction. Anybody can read this book if they can read English, but they can't understand it without the Holy Spirit of God. And so what's happening, when they begin to read, they have no insight from God to help understand. It's the Holy Spirit who inspired to write this book. It's the Holy Spirit to help you understand this book if you ever understand it. Because you and I can't understand it in our own. We've got so much mess in our body that we want to go with the flesh, with the eye, you know, the eyes of the flesh, the flesh and the eyes. We see things that brings pride of life. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes brings a pride of life. We got so much of that there. Without the Holy Spirit of God, we're going to go the way of the world every time, because that satisfies for the flesh. And sometimes when we feel satisfied, we think maybe that's approval of God. But they take the evidence out, and therefore they make an application of fallen man. If there is no creator to set our rules here, ladies and gentlemen, man is left drifting himself in everything that he does, his morals, morality, everything he does. If there's no creator, listen to me, if there's no creator, then man is left adrift for himself. And man has not any knowledge at all about the end. He's just trying to make things now where he's at and hope that everything turned out all right. I'm glad I understand that there is a creator. Amen. And I'm glad I understand he has a way, he has a plan. And I'm glad I understand how Christ fits in that plan, and in Christ how I can fit in that plan at the call of God. Therefore, I cannot throw out the evidence and stand in the court of God one day, because we're all going to stand there. Saved, we're going to stand at the beam of seat of Christ. Those unsaved are going to stand at the great white throne judgment. We're going to stand before God one day, and this is the evidence. He's written it. He's preserved it. He's given our day. He's not going to make us accountable for something we didn't know unless it's in this book. If it's in this book, we better find out what it is. By the way, if it's in this book, there's not going to be no excuse either. And there's a lot we don't know about this book. So we better be sure we try to conform to what we do know as God transforms our mind, you see. In God's court, in Romans 3:23, it said, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. God's court is not like man's court. God's word will stand in his court. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 through 32 is like a commentary of today's world. You read Romans 1, verse 18 through 32, and almost like looking at the day's living of a commentary of our life because of what's happened, how people left God, what's going on in our day, what God has said and brought over for us to even understand that he hadn't changed from the Old Testament. So let me give you three quick points on don't throw out the evidence. I want you to turn with me to Ephesians, if you will, chapter 1. I'm going to stay there a little bit. In Ephesians chapter 1, he explains some things. First of all, in whom we trust. Look in verse 13. The Apostle Paul says, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. Now, watch how this is approached. If you go back, we know he's talking about Jesus Christ in verse 5. He says in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, forgiveness of sin according to the riches of his grace. He says down he said, having made known unto us in verse 9, he said, the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he had purpose in himself. He said that the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. Now watch verse 11. In whom also we have attained and in her been predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Verse 13 now. In whom, that's Jesus Christ, ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word in Romans 10:17. So there came a time. What is this here? And notice he said that you hear the word of truth. What is that word of truth? He defines it in the next phrase. The gospel of your salvation. Amen. The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. It's the good news. When you hear the gospel, it is the gospel that the Holy Spirit will bring us to understanding that we're lost. Jesus would have had to come and go through what went into us to have the gospel if we didn't need his help. And he, listen, we don't determine how we're going to receive God. We're not going to say, God, I'm a bargain. You got to accept me when I do. No, we'll come his way or we'll not come his way. Ladies and gentlemen, it's so important this day you hear everything that you can think of about how one can have peace with God. But here we see exactly, Paul said to the church at Ephesus, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Watch, they're in whom again. In whom also after ye believe. Watch. There are those who hear the gospel. They after they hear the gospel, the word of truth, which is the gospel, they don't receive Christ as Savior. But notice, what's the difference when you do? The day you bowed your head before God, your heart before God, and said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, reached out by faith and received Jesus Christ as your Savior. God Almighty said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, don't throw out that evidence and try to tell me there's another way to be saved when God has given us absolute truth. Now watch what he says. He said, but now after you receive the gospel, not just when you heard it, but after you received it, and Romans 10:9-10 tells us how we receive it, he says, now watch this. In whom also in Christ, after you receive it, after you believe, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. What an amazing statement. Notice. And then verse 14, he says, which is the earnest of our inheritance till the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. I believe till the redemption of the purchased possession is when God gets us home. When he gets us on the other side in a glorified body. Now, as I look at this, I understand what he's talking about. I believe the word sealed means a finished transaction, an absolute assurance security. See, you can't just put on a cloth of religion and think you're saved. Someone was telling me this past week of a young guy back a few years ago. He was trying to win to, this guy got really sold out for trying to win someone to the Lord. He went and visited this guy, had burdened his heart. And when he started talking to him, this guy closed his arms. This guy was about 20-something year old then. He closed his arms and said, you're trying to win me to the Lord, aren't you? He said, well, he shocked him. He said, well, I sure am. He said, I got saved when I was 16 years old. And this guy knew he wasn't living for the Lord. He said, you did? He said, sure did. He said, I lived for God till I was 18 or 19 years old. And then I got out of high school and got out on my own. And I saw this world had some things. And he got with a different crowd. And all of a sudden, he said, I want you to know he's living in sin, living with a woman, doing everything else. And he said, I just told God, I'm his child, but I'm just not going to accept everything he says. Don't throw the evidence out. He said, what? He said, I'm not going to accept the evidence that he says about it. I accept it about salvation and some of this other stuff. I'm just not going to accept it. I'm enjoying my life right now. And then he said, by the way, you believe in eternal security, don't you? The guy said, yes. He said, I do too. That guy's just as deceived as a goose in a hailstorm. That's not the way God works. By the way, the same God who saves us tells us also some things that he has to see to manifest to others. Not that he has to see it that we're saved. Others have to see it to show that we aren't saved because we have to produce fruit. And that's what I'm saying. You can't say, I trust Christ here and be head knowledge and throw something else out that God says us to do, because if you do, you throw an evidence that's going to condemn you one of these days. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. The grace of God will save you. The grace of God will help you live for God too. Amen. You'll see that as we go through this. And I'm grateful that I can see that in my life. As a matter of fact, these verses here bless me very much. A seal makes a document official. After being signed and sealed and delivered, a document has a legal agreement between parties. Now, years ago, they didn't have the seals like we have today, where you got those automatic, not well, you got automatics too, but you got hands and where you just squeeze a thing. You know, they had to do it this way. They had wax. They put wax on a on a document, and then the authority would take a seal, sometimes a king's ring, and they put it in that wax. And once it was there, then both parties had agreed, and therefore that document became law for those individuals. Now, in a sense, salvation is a legal, verbal document, though God has documented what he'll do in his word, that God has made with fallen man. The Holy Spirit speaks out of the terms of this agreement in the gospel. And that's what he said here. After you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, then in whom also after that you believe. A lot of folks are here. By the way, believing teaches us in Romans, sin is not here. This is acknowledgement to some degree, but it doesn't mean you're going to follow it. This is head knowledge. This believing is more. There's something more than just, I believe that Jesus Christ came. Well, do you believe everything about him? I don't know much about him. Well, do you believe what you do know about him? No, I don't believe everything, because I can't think he'd be a sinless life. I don't see where blood would do anything. See, you're throwing out the evidence. On the other hand, I'm not saying you, those who do that. On the other hand, ladies and gentlemen, when you think about what has happened, in Romans 10, 9, if thou should confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then the next verse he says, for with the heart man believeth unto right. There it is. Watch it. See, the word of God not only has the doctrine of how to get saved, it shows us in depth, and it's already been given by God's signature by giving us the Holy Spirit, which he said in verse 14 is the earnest, that is the down payment of what God's done for us. I'll tell you, when you get saved biblically, and when you find yourself saved biblically, you're going to find yourself having the Holy Spirit of God that God gives us as the down payment. And when that happens, your life will change. If not, you put on a religious cloak. That's not preached much today. A lot of folks are wearing religious cloak. You can put a religious cloak on anytime you want to, and you can take it off anytime you want to. But you can't be born physically but one time. And if you're truly born again, you can't be born spiritually one time either. It's not a cloak. And these verses are true. This is God's document. And I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. Don't throw the evidence out. Now, when I look through and I see these wonderful things, hear everything, the Holy Spirit spells out the terms, and hear everything links us to Jesus Christ and his blood. God has signed the contract in Jesus' name. He said, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 2, 10, 13. 17 says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. The Holy Spirit is not over, is not only the seal, which he says in verse 13. He's also the earnest of inheritance that God give to us until the purchased possession. And I believe that's until we get home on the other side. And notice, Jesus Christ paid for it all. Why would I, if I understand his blessed holy name and what he's done for me, why in this world would I want to receive him then live to bring shame to his name? I mean, I may fall somewhere once in a while because I don't have enough knowledge, but my lifestyle will change, and so will yours if you get saved. And so would anybody else who truly gets saved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this thing is more than fickle religion that we're seeing going around today. And you're not hearing much about that because most people rather hear, just tell me how good I am, preacher, and I'll come back. You know, God says he doesn't see anything good in us at all outside of Jesus Christ. There's none good, no, not one, he says. And he picked that up in the Old Testament. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus has got to be more than what he is to most people. He's got to be more because if you're not careful, he's no more than Confucius, Muhammad, or some other religious guru. You understand what I'm saying? He's more than that. Amen. His name is above every name. Yes. Every tongue shall confess. Every knee shall bow and confess that he's Lord to the glory of God one day. Don't tell me he's not different. He is different. He deserves even more than the best of us can give. And I thank God for understanding that. We put our trust in Jesus Christ backed by the word of God. That old songwriter years ago put it this way, my hope is built in nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. That's for salvation. That's for living too. Then I understand. Genesis 1 says, in the beginning God created heaven and earth. And they say, well, I can't believe that because, I it just don't make sense. Don't throw the evidence out. Well, I'm not going to look toward evolution. That's false. Well, that's your opinion. No, that's God's opinion. In the beginning, God. When you see, God was there when the beginning for us started. In the beginning, God, He's already there. Amen. He created heaven's earth. Well, I can't see that like you do. Don't throw the evidence out. I believe what I believe about that's going to stand in God's court one day. Someone said, see in Psalm chapter 14, verse 1. He said, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. Well, that's your opinion. You know, this thing of God. Hey, don't throw the evidence out. That's evidence. Everything else is false. Throw it out in man's court, you might not be convicted. You can't throw it out in God's court because He's the one who said it. So therefore, we have to accept it or be condemned by it, one or the other. You believe one? If you do, you're commended. If you don't believe that and believe, don't believe it, then we're condemned by it, no matter where we understand it or don't understand it. Look with me in 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm talking about don't throw the evidence out. 1 Peter chapter 1, you see down in verse 18, again, Peter said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your fathers. That's like, he said, listen, you're not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, to believe in other ways of vain conversation. To believe it because mom and dad did it or grandpa and grandpa did it is vain conversation. It's only putting on a religious cloak. You put a religious cloak on in any dispensation and you'll take it off anytime you want to. Why? You put it on, you can take it off. When you talk about though putting on the new man, God said, I'll help you do that. Help put off the old man and put on the new. There's a difference putting on a religious cloak and putting on the new man and taking off the religious cloak in this life. Notice what he says. Watch. He said, your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. What? But with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. He's ordained before the foundation of the world. Watch. Who by him, who this lamb, Jesus Christ, do believe by him, who by him do believe in God, that is those who trust him, that raised him from the dead, watch, and gave him glory that your faith and hope might be in God. Why? Seeing you have pure, I love this. This is scripture. Man, a person comes to me and throws such scriptures as this out because they don't believe that God can save. And also that there's a difference in people's lives. He said, seeing you have purified your souls, how? In obeying the truth, the Spirit, through the Spirit, unto unfinished love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart. Watch, being born again, not a corruptible seed, that's putting on the cloak, but incorruptible. How? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Verse 25, but the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You see, ladies and gentlemen, if you put on the religious cloak, it's not before long in dabbling with this world system we talk about on Wednesday night that you find yourself being more involved with that than you are with God's program. And God's not going to let you do that long without feeling miserable. You know, He's not going to make, because He said, my grace saved you when you trust in me, and my grace extended you now, and you're going to find out a man reaps what he sows, even if you're a child of God. And what you have to understand that God is telling us, listen, I loved you to save you, and I love you enough to not let you do what you need, what you want to do sometimes that takes you out of my will. Ladies and gentlemen, this Bible is too great and too plain for us to see that. Don't throw the evidence out. Here, he goes on, he said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God which liveth in the body forever. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, verse 25, and this is the word which the gospel is preached unto you. John chapter 14, verse 6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Again, no man comes to the Father but by me. Well, I just believe there's another way. Don't throw the evidence out. That's throwing the evidence out. Well, preacher, what about those people in South America never heard the word of God you're talking about this thing? Still don't throw the evidence out. Listen, God wants us to believe the evidence and let Him handle that. Because He will handle that. He knows more than we do. Again, in Ephesians chapter 1, what I just read a few minutes ago, notice this, in chapter 1, in verse 11, he said, in whom we have obtained and here has been predestined according to the purpose of him who worked all things to count his own will. And what I get out of this, the fact is that this has already been seen by God from the very beginning of time, down through the ages, before I ever came into this world. Look in 1 Peter with me just a moment, in chapter 1, in verse 3, 4, and 5. Peter said, "Blessed be God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to the abundant mercy had begotten us into a lively hope." How? By the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, you know the reason why I don't believe nobody else can save us? Because you won't find nobody else who says they have the power to do that if people believe in, who rose from the dead. Everywhere you find about Jesus Christ, the fact that he had the power to raise him up, the fact that God raised him, however you want to put it, don't matter to me, he did rise from the dead. And I say that gives us assurance that what he says is true. Notice in verse 4, he said he has to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, that fate is not away, reserved in heaven for you. He's reserving this for us in heaven. He must expect it to be there. And he wants you to know, hey, there are some things that you can do when you get there. You'll be blessed by more. There's rewards. There's a like as far as winning souls that he gives us. There's five crowns I know of to start with. It said in the Bible. Watch, he said again that he said that to inherit the incorruptible, undefiled, the fate not away reserved in heaven for you who are kept. I look, that's guarded, that's taken care of. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Ladies and gentlemen, God Almighty has left us Scripture to give us assurance if we understand and ask him to help us understand what he said. And the second thing, notice God brings change in our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7, 2 Corinthians 5, 17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature." Watch. If any man be in Christ. You don't put on a religious cloak and be in Christ. You have to be born into it. If any man be in Christ, what? He says he is a new nature. No ifs, and buts about it. There's a new nature. You mean the new nature that comes in all of a sudden can do something to unravel what God has done? In John 4 again, transformation is the biblical purpose to conform us to Christ. Romans 12:1-2 tells us that. The world's purpose will conform us unto this old world. If you do not have, hear me, if you do not have Jesus, the new creation, which he is, the old life will creep back in. And that's what happens. First go ahead. He goes somewhere and said, "Man, I got saved. How did you get saved?" "I received Christ." "Oh, you did? Yeah, I believe in him." "Yes, sir." "Good. Amen. Well, what did you do?" "Well, I just prayed and got up and I believe." You better believe in the resurrection. That's part of the confession, by the way. And then suddenly start down. They start in this, what they call the Christian life, for just a little bit of time. And then you realize, all of a sudden, you know, the old flesh comes back again. Satan knows exactly when to pop it in. Flesh comes back. And next thing you know, you say, kind of like, you ever been swimming and you want to test the water with your toe? You say, "That's too cold. I'm going to wait a little while." Well, that's what happened. Exaggerating, but sometimes a person who's made a profession of faith want to test the waters of that world. Next thing you know, they get over there. And by creeping back into the world where they were before they made a profession of faith, there's nothing to help them. They have not the Spirit of God. They haven't grown a bit in the Word of God. And next thing you know, they've gone just away. They put on a cloak and was deceived by Satan, thinking it was faith in Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you something. When God saves a person, you're going to find out he moves in like he said he would. And I'll tell you this, he'll help us understand we're not right home yet, so we got some glitches along the way. We got some problems along the way. We have to deal with those things with the Word of God and before the Lord. And that's the reason God gave us communion, I believe, so we could get some things. There may be some things we didn't know from the last time when we got saved, the first communion we had. From the time we got saved to the communion is the time we can get right with God on things we don't even know if we just come and confess to him the things we do know. But when you have the Holy Spirit of God and he comes in, first of all, you're going to have a love for this book. And when you hit preach, you're not going to run from it. You're going to run to it. Another thing is you're going to find that when you obey, that's observation, and try to interpret, begin to obey it, God blesses. And when you do fall, you'll be brokenhearted. God will show you that this is not the way. This is not approved of me. As a matter of fact, it's more shame than approved. And therefore, God gives us a way to come back and ask the Lord to forgive us on the individual thing. But when a person goes back in that world and they start living a lifestyle like that world, it's a sure sign they put on a religious cloak and did not put on trust Jesus Christ as Savior. Because they tried and tried it and nothing happened and God didn't do anything. God didn't do anything. So he must be all right. And he gets in that world, he'll find 5,000 others who said they're Christians doing the same thing. See, there's a difference. There's a difference. And here we see Christ brings changes in our lives. Someone said, well, I just don't believe that. Don't throw out the evidence. Romans 12:1 teaches us that we're to present our bodies a living sacrifice. He said that's a reasonable service. Be ye not conformed to this world, verse 2. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You won't do that in the world. You'll be so occupied in the world, you'll be trying to learn everything. You're conforming to it. But God said, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect and accepted will of God. And so, if you're saved, you find yourself saying, Lord, I don't understand this, but help me with these things. And I said this before in my life years ago. Been saved. Why would I stay chained to some old type of habit when I've been set free by Jesus Christ? In John 8:36, Jesus said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. You have been set free in Christ. I have been set free in Christ. We have this new nature. We have the divine nature of God. We have a new name, the Bible teaches us. God has made us new. He tells us, even in what Ezekiel said, in Ezekiel chapter 3, go back there just a minute, even that affects us in our particular day. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 18, God said, Ezekiel, say this, and he's talking, when I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way. Watch these next four words. To save his life. See, you witness someone. They don't think that's what you're trying to do. They think you're trying to get them on a religious wagon. You're trying to condemn. God says, no. You understand that I want you to witness to that person. Why? To save his life. Or save her life. Read it. Mark it. I have that marked in my Bible to remind me over and over again. That's something that didn't cease just because Jesus came. In fact, he enhanced it. He gave us the Great Commission. And then he says, he said, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require of thy hand. He didn't say they die in their iniquity. He said, but that blood somehow I'm going to require when you stand before me because you did not witness to him. And it might have changed him. If a person or her, if that had happened at that particular time, in whom we trust and in Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, in Romans chapter 8, and I'm fixing to close, in Romans chapter 8 and down about verse 11, the Bible says this. He's talking about what's the conflict between the flesh and what God's going to do for us. Verse 9 said, but if you're not in the flesh but in the Spirit, he said, ye are not in the flesh, but if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you, it's one thing to have, another thing to dwell. The dwelling is that you learn. See, God gave it to you when you were saved. The dwelling, though, that he sets down to be comforting us is this book in our heart that feeds our soul, which in turn the Holy Spirit can help us direct us in what we do in our particular life. In that inner small voice, it comes from the Word of God. He said, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. That is, hey, if you don't have the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. You put on a rich, I'm telling you the world, put on a richest cloak, that's all. Because if you get genuine born again, God has promised to give us his Spirit. It's an earnest down payment the day you and I got saved. You think I'd be here now if I'd put on a richest cloak back in September 27, 1959 when I got saved? I've been tempted too many ways to go different ways. And there's always a wall, our spiritual wall God gives. I might try to peck through it sometime, but you get miserable while you're pecking. And God is just, I don't know, you have to experience to understand really what we're talking about. And then we see in Acts chapter 13, this is amazing here because the Apostle Paul is preaching a sermon in the synagogue in Antioch in Pisidia, and he goes down and watch, he says in verse 29, and when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, talking about Jesus Christ, they took him down from the tree and laid him in a sepulchre. But verse 20, praise God, I'm glad God didn't put a pier and stop there. He said in verse 20, but God raised him from the dead. Amen. That's the secret. Hey, you're talking about, you know, you Christians. It amazes me some things that people, even our president, what he says about his evaluation of Christians. I'll read a Christian, I'll read a few things just a few minutes. What I want you to see is this, that in Ephesians 2 and verse 4, go there with me just a moment. In Ephesians 2 and in verse 4, first of all, here's what God says. He says in verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherein he loved us. He's talking about how we're quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sin, what God has done, and God in mercy, who is rich in mercy for his great love. Even when we were dead in sins, that quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. Watch. Has raised us to sit together, up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ladies and gentlemen, let me tell you something. I don't understand all about that. But I understand that verse to know somehow or another God sees you and I who are saved sitting with Christ at the right hand of the Father. Now, I can't see that without the help of the Holy Spirit. It doesn't even make sense because I'm in a body of flesh. But somehow or another, God sees us sitting at the right hand of the Father in Jesus Christ now before we get there. And did you think that I want to do something, a lifestyle, and live in sin when he's done so much for us? We slip and fall. But thank God for the blood. It saved me and forgive my sin. And if I do slip without knowing, thank God he can cleanse me just as much. And I'll forsake it. I don't talk about, well, that'd be the case. You know, I'll just do this today and ask God to forgive me and then next week do it again. I'm not that type of religion. I'm not looking to go talk to someone in a peephole every Saturday because I did something during the week wrong. I'm glad I got one, though, who sits at the right hand of the Father, has a door open all the time. I like what Brother Don Whaley said. You don't have road construction block when you're trying to get to God. Amen. I like that. He knows he's there saying, now I'll tell you. So here we see this wonderful thing taking place here. And he goes on and he said in verse 11, I like this. He watch what he says. He says, wherefore, Ephesians 2, and I've got to hurry. I've got to quit. Not hurry, I've got to quit. Wherefore, remember that you've been in times past, Gentiles, the flesh gives that. He said that at that time you were without Christ. Here's where we were at. Without Christ. Alien from the commonwealth of Israel. Strangers in the covenants of promises. Had no hope without God in the world. I'm glad he didn't stop there. But in Jesus Christ. Now, in Jesus Christ. Ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace. He tells us where I was at. And he tells us what he did. And I'm not going to put a cloak of religion on and claim that something because that would lose out of this. I'm going to trust him with the depth of my soul and understand that he's my Father as well as my God. And I can go to him and he will tell me if something is not right. And that's the reason there's things in my life that change that many people today say, I'm not going to change. It make no difference to me. It made a difference to me because I wanted to let God use me for his glory. It made a difference for me. And anything. Now, here's the thing. We're saved by God's grace through faith. He tells us that. Where you're at will determine what you hear, and what you hear will determine, listen to me, what you believe. And God's word, when it's applied in your life, becomes the energy of God in your life. It's the energy to worship him, to serve him, to walk with him, instead of doubting. One of the things about Eve amazes me, when Adam and Eve sinned, and God came down looking for them, calling for them, because he knew where they're at, but he's letting them respond. And Adam said, when you came this time, we saw ourselves naked. And God said, well, who told you you were naked? I didn't. Remember that? I didn't tell you that. Who told you that? He could have said, Adam, hey, I've been fellowship with you for no telling, years, if you put it in time. And I've seen you every day. Did I ever say anything about that? Who told you you were naked? Have I ever said to you, Adam and Eve, you're naked? Who told you that? And then he said, that woman did. And then she said, the snake did. And we've been passing a buck ever since. Amen. If God, it's me, folks. If God can convince me I'm lost and need a Savior by his word, and he did. Took 3 years, but he did. If God can convince you, hear me, that you're lost and you need a Savior and you trusted Christ as your Savior. By the way, it was not the person who led you to the Lord that made you see it. It was the Word of God. Amen. Now, if God, let me say it again, I'm closing with this. If God can convince me that I'm lost and I need a Savior by His Word, God can convince me when I am not living right also by His Word. And that's the difference in putting on the cloak and taking the evidence that God says that feeds our soul. Don't throw the evidence out. If you're here this morning, you're not saved. Someone listen by radio. Someone listen by upstream right now. If you're not saved, and I say to you, Paul told the Philippian jailer, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Understanding that, Romans 9:10 is what they did. I say to you, you need to do that. Well, preacher, that's not where my background's not. Wait, don't throw the evidence out. That's the only thing you're going to stand. Your background don't mean a thing in heaven. In heaven, when you stand before God one day, except condemn you if it's not taken care of by the blood. You wonder why we stick by the old stuff. Folks, God loves this world so much, it must grieve. If anything grieves the heart of God, it's got to be the way this world is going, even though He has small voices in places around this country and in the world, someplace underground, like here, to warn that God is to be trusted, served, and not rebelled against. Because sooner or later, when that happens, He's going to really show us that He means business. Folks, let me read it. Would you let me read this? Just quite, I've got to. Here are some things our president said who was asked these questions. He said, nor am I willing to accept the reading of the Bible that consider this. This is said. This, you can go to Freedom. You can go to freedomoutpost.com. That's on this sheet that I've got. He said, nor am I willing to accept reading of the Bible that considers an obscure line in Romans to be more defining to the Christian than Sermon on the Mount. He said, when I'm asked what his definition of sin is, he said, being out of alignment of my values. Folks, listen, if I'd gone by my values and that's all sin was, I'd just be doing it because it can't be no punishment. It's my values. Am I going to punish myself? I'm going to do something to punish myself? Then he says this, if all it took was someone proclaiming, I believe in Jesus Christ and that He died for my sins, and that was all there was to it, people wouldn't never have to come to church again, would they? He said also, I don't presume to have knowledge of what happened after I die, but I feel very strongly that whether the reward is in here or now or in the hereafter, the aligning of myself to my faith and my values is a good thing. He even said, and I quote, and I feel sorry for this, he said, I do not believe that my mother, who never formally embraced Christianity, as far as I know, I do not believe she went to hell. And then he said, I believe that there are many paths to the same place, and that is a belief that there is a higher power and a belief that we can that we all are connected as people to what that power is and what it is. My Father, I want to thank You again for loving us, Lord. Someone say, well, I have no reason to read that. Yes, I do. I have a reason to stand for You, even though I may be alone. This is something that was said in speeches, and there's many more. I have 20, 40 in all, some religion, some otherwise. And Lord, if it's said in speeches, there's no reason why. If He's got the freedom to say that in a speech, I've got the freedom to say what I have to say here. I may have to reap the condition of that, but I have I have that right now, the freedom to say, I do not believe that. I believe this book. Heavenly Father, help someone to see what was said today. Help us learn the facts. Let us know the evidence. Then give us that power not to throw the evidence out. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.